Hi, my name is Fred Dodsworth. I'm the chair of the National Finance Committee. It is Tuesday, April 22nd at 5:35. Aki, can you please call the roll?
Sure. So, Christina Evanos? Okay. Tom Chase?
Here.
Okay. Lyndon Foley?
Here.
Thank you. Steve Kukano? R. Paul Martin? R. Paul?
Oh, here I am. Okay. Yep. Okay. I'm here.
Myra? Leeson?
I am here.
Okay. James Sagan?
Here.
Thank you. Dennis Williams?
I'm here.
All right. Michael Woodson?
I'm here.
Thank you. Fred Dodsworth?
Fred Dodsworth is present.
And Susan is not here right now, right?
No, and I don't think she's going to show up today.
Okay. And Stephanie is here, right?
Correct, here.
Okay, I'll go back. Chris, Christina, Avalos, and then Steve Kukana. Okay, so you got 8 out of 10.
Great. I don't know that Steve Kukala is going to respond again. He was of the opinion that since the bylaws changed, that his services weren't useful. And Christina's, I know, got other commitments and was doing this out of a sense of moral obligation.
Okay. But
as not a PNB member, she no longer has a role to play. Has everybody gotten the agenda which was sent out recently? We had an agenda sent out by Aki earlier, and then I sent out one a few minutes ago. Okay, I guess we haven't. So I'm going to read the agenda, and then we will go to approval. Starts with approval, roll call, approval agenda, approval of minutes for both March 25 and April 8th. The ED reports, and I put that at 45 minutes. The ED is going to explain and address the asset reductions regarding various transmitters. And then we're going to go to the KPFA budget. And then we're going to go to closed session because we're going to deal with issues that should not be discussed in public for a total of 45 minutes. New business is 15 minutes. And adjourn time certain at 10:30. Does anybody object to that agenda? Hearing no objections, I consider it passed. Has everybody seen the minutes for the last two meetings? Aki sent those out. I'm assuming that everybody's had a chance to look at them. If you haven't, then you need to know that you can make changes anytime you want. If you haven't received them, send me a note, and I will send them after this meeting. We'll address this at the next meeting. But it's pretty straightforward and simple, and all this should be dealt with, frankly, out of our meeting. So that's going to move that agenda.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
Is there a motion to approve those?
Which?
Well, whichever. You sent out a second agenda, you said?
No, this is the agenda that I have, and I sent it out to everybody, and I just read it to you, and if I heard no objections.
Oh, well, I sent corrections in for
the minutes.
Okay, so we're on the agenda right now, still?
We are, well, I don't know where you're at, but I thought we had the agenda and we had moved to the minutes.
Yeah, so did I.
And I said, since nobody has received the minutes, please don't interrupt me. I said, since nobody has received the minutes, I will ask you to send me a request and I will make sure that you get the minutes as they were corrected by you, R. Paul, and we will address that next meeting because there's no reason for us to go through that now. I think the minutes should be dealt with offline. You can make corrections at any point, including next January. So no rush.
I think I need to say that you approved the minutes at a meeting. But anyway, go ahead.
We have no minutes to approve because nobody's got them except me. I asked if anyone got the minutes and I was told no. Nobody said they got the minutes.
I got minutes.
You wrote minutes.
I didn't write them. I made corrections to the ones we'd gotten. All right. Anyway, next meeting. Fine. Good.
ED report. The ED is going to address and explain the asset reductions regarding various transmitters. And the EG is going into the open session to discuss the KPFK budget. And then we're going to go into closed session and address issues that cannot be addressed in public. Stephanie, can we have your report?
Yes. And as far as I'm moving up a little bit, the KPFK budget, I don't think we were going to review it at this point, was my understanding. But after we sort of talked about some of the issues we want to talk about in the closed session, then we will put it back on the agenda to discuss the year to date.
Okay. Should we do that for this meeting, or should we push that off to the next meeting?
Well, I have the schedule that I've provided based upon our meetings a couple of last month, and then the schedule that I provided to Markeisha and the people that are helping her with the budget preparations and the reconciliation of all the bank statements, is that we have at the May 13th meeting reviewing the WPFW budget to date, and then we'll have it to the National Finance Committee to review 1 week prior, which is May 6th. And then I have WBAI on May 27th with the NFC reviewing it by May 20th. KPFT on June 10th with the NFC reviewing it by June 3rd. I have KPFK and the Pacifica affiliates on June 24th with the committee reviewing it by June 17th. We can always flip-flop KPFK if we want. And the Pacific Affiliate Network, they're already working on that. So that will be a quick, easy go through. KPFA on July 8th, National Office and the Archives, July 22nd, with the review by the committee on July 15th.
Great. That was kind of what I understood as well.
Okay.
The question I've got was somebody had brought up the issue that we had seemingly stopped paying for and closed several repeater transmitters. Is that correct?
No, they're continuing to be paid for. That's what the and that's what is one of the biggest issues here. So this the Goodrich station, or the Goodrich in Houston, one of the things is that we have been paying for that for quite some time, even though it hasn't been, to my knowledge, what I've been told is it hasn't been broadcasting for quite a long time. And the discussion to remove the translator has been in discussion for multiple years, even prior to me starting. It's surrounded by many trees, which has been preventing the signal from working properly. And actually, and again, I'm reporting from what has been told to me, so I'm not the engineer here, but the Goodrich is 80.1 megahertz. The translator is 80.3 megahertz. And it actually has been, when it was working, was interfering actually with the KPFT signal. So on or about March 9th, I'll read exactly what was submitted to the FCC, is that we have requested temporary authority for the signal to remain silent. And it says the Pacifica Foundation has experienced ongoing difficulties with the station's coverage and effective maintenance of the transmitter site, including issues with maintaining consistent internet access. As a result, the Pacifica Foundation has determined that it needs to make budgetary reconsiderations to determine how best to operate the station going forward. Pending its budgetary and administrative decisions, the Pacifica Foundation requests SDA to remain silent in the interim. So we put in what we did is that our FCC attorney put in a request for silent notifications and silent STA requests for the translators K32, K12, and K248.
Excellent.
That was with Houston. And then I'll move on with Monterey and Santa Cruz. The cost to operate and pay there's a cost associated with all of these. Those are approximately $1,000 to $1,200 per month. Over the last 3 years, one of the areas surrounding in Santa Cruz has brought in $100 annually from one donor who actually donates directly through direct cultivation from station staff. The Monterey equipment transmitter line was actually damaged in early March and will take approximately $7,000 to $10,000 to repair. The signals are not very strong on either of those, and people get better quality sound over the internet via their phones and computers. So regarding Santa Cruz, KPFA felt the poor coverage and the cost of maintaining the transmitter site at $1,200 per month was problematic for the station. It went silent on March 25th, and that's when KPFA decided to surrender it. They notified the commissioner and again requested a special temporary authority to remain silent. And the explanation with that as well is that the Pacific Canopy Foundation has experienced ongoing difficulties with the station's coverage and effective maintenance of the transmitter site. As a result, it has been determined that Pacifica needs to make budgetary reconsiderations to best determine how to operate it going forward. And pending budgetary and administrative decisions, it requests STA to remain silent in the interim. And the same with Monterey. An engineer, the KPFA met with myself, management, their engineering team, the national engineering team, also to discuss whether to file an STA for the Monterey translator or to repair the antenna system, which had been damaged also in early March. The expense for the necessary tower work plus the tower rent could not be justified in their budget. Again, anywhere between $7,000 to $12,000 to fix it. So again, the statement with that is that Pacifica Foundation has experienced ongoing difficulties with the state's coverage and effective maintenance of the transmitter site, including damage to the antenna system that occurred on March 4th, 2024. As a result, it has been determined that Pacifica needs to make budgetary reconsiderations to determine how best to operate the station going forward. Pending budgetary and administrative decisions, we request that the STA is to remain silent in the interim. As we look at the basic budgetary constraints or the budget and numbers regarding these, it has been determined we really can't afford these. The expense of these translators far outweighs the revenue. They are not cost effective and they're not paying for themselves. One of the things also is that the FCC will fine stations if you hoard unused translators. And here we have three unused translators. So we have to make a decision as to whether to keep them and pay for them, even though they're not working, get them repaired. And it just made sense to go ahead and get rid of the unused translators. We will not be selling them because we do not want to, we want to make sure, and we made statements with this to a report with the FCC. We do not want to sell the stations or the transfer to any sort of conservative or religious broadcasters or any group that is against our mission. So we are looking to repurpose them and find good homes with nonprofit broadcasters that have a similar mission. And we are asking that the nonprofit that will ultimately take over pay for half of the cost of the removal, because we will still have a cost associated with removing them from the tower, as well as the transfer costs associated with the FCC attorneys that are required to oversee the process. So, for example, we've already received some information and requests regarding the transmitter in Houston. And we, one thing to the station never, we did get notification that the station never received any complaints from listeners that the transmitter signal had been off the air. And upon inspection, I'm just quoting what was told to us, upon inspection of the site, it was determined that the internet sending audio to the translator, which is in the reserve band, had failed quite a long time ago, and it was not even brought to our attention by any listeners. So that we do have, for example, when we're looking for somebody that we want to make sure that the translator is given to someone with a like-minded mission. We have been in conversations with a station in Texas. They contacted us through the affiliate that a community radio station that's located in Austin has had a long time relationship with KPFK and they were KPFT and they were even repeating KPFT signal for quite a while in the early days. And we look at some other stations as well, there are some places in Austin, for example, that would be eligible to own the translator, but it's too far away from them. So we are looking at some of these other stations that are the closest to it. So we're working closely with the FCC, with our FCC attorneys, with our engineering staff, with our compliance officer, with the general manager, with the local station engineers to discuss these as we're going forward. So everything is silent. Nothing has been sold.
So we have three hands up, but I want to compliment you for the many balls in the air that you're managing to juggle.
Thank you.
Maya is up there first, and then Lyndon, and then James Egerton. Maya, can you go ahead and ask your question?
Thanks. Thank you, Stephanie. At a certain point, you referred to asking for an STE, and I was trying to follow, but what is an STE?
It's an STA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no, STA, yes. What is that?
Yeah, and it is, I honestly have to go through my notes because what we've done, I'm just reading off of the reports that were filed with the FCC that were created by our compliance officer and our chief engineer and our local and our attorney.
So
it's a silent. We filed on April 17th a request for a silent notification and a silent STA request for the three translators. And I have it's a special temporary authority. That's what STA stands for.
Okay, thank you. And would it be possible? I'd be interested in reading this so I can digest it. It's something that's of interest to me. So can you?
I can forward. I'll double check. I'm sure I can forward. It's not a problem. But there were four forms that were sent to me from our attorneys that were the drafts because it's an online application. And so I received printouts of the online application that was forwarded to the FCC. So I'm sure it's fine to share them. So I will make sure I'll just put them together in one form and send them to you. There's nothing secret in any of them.
Well, you can share them with directors. The directors may not be able to share them. They might, may or may not.
It's not full of a lot. Honestly, it's not full of a lot of information. I had to kind of cross-reference as to what a lot of these things mean. And even as I sat in on these meetings, it was like, what? Can you explain? Or I'd call John later and say, can you explain that to me? So I will definitely send you everything. And then if there's other or further questions, you can always email John Amella.
And I do have a question about Monterey, California. And when you pivoted from KPFT to KPFA, I didn't know whether that Monterey was in Texas or California, but then I figured it out once you mentioned that that was KPFA. And I know that there
Correct.
Are quite a few people who I'm just wondering, and I would have to kind of read this and think about my question, but I'm just wondering if we ever had a listenership in Monterey, California, and it just seems like it has a potential of being a really kind of a good spot for KPFA listeners. But apparently they're listening if they're listening at all, they're listening through the internet.
Correct. These were not decisions that came from myself. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, we may not have had listeners there because the translators haven't really been functioning at adequate capacity for some time, is my understanding from what you've been saying, that the translators really haven't been reaching, the signal hasn't been reaching Monterey as intended. Is that right?
Well, the translator in Monterey died or was damaged on March 4th, so it had been working, and they did extensive reports as to where their donor base was coming from and based upon the reach of these. And again, $100 per year from one donor in those areas over the last 3 years. And the cultivation and stewardship of that donor has been direct one-to-one, and they listen to the station when they do listen to it via the internet, and they just have a standing relationship with the staff, not necessarily because they listen and then donate.
Let's go to the next question. Lyndon.
Thank you, Brett. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Do you have an address on this Goodrich station?
Yes. I have a facility ID number. That doesn't help. 122880. I can look at the. Let me pull up the report.
Well, it's if you find it, it's just more of a curiosity. I thought I saw in the initial report that somebody mentioned these things happening, that they said Livingston. And I know where that is, Lake Livingston. I almost thought it was Huntsville, but which it isn't. So how much was KPFT spending? Do you know? if anything?
Approximately 1200 a month. It's the same thing. It's
1200 a month?
Yeah, it's like 1200.
I would have thought we would have seen that in the budget, but I didn't know that this place even existed. I mean, we talked about Galveston a lot, and of course we talked about Huntsville a lot. This is never mentioned. I never saw it in the budget.
And it hadn't been working for quite a while, so it most likely had not even been budgeted because they knew it had not been working.
Well, that's what I was asking, how much we were paying for it. You said $1,200 a month, right?
Correct. But they might not have budgeted it this past year. Yeah, because this was news to me as well. I'm trying to look through.
Or any of the last addresses. 3 or 4 years. Okay.
Yeah, all it just says is the Rich, Texas, and the facility ID number.
Okay, so maybe it was just rolled in, and the cost was rolled in with our other tower rent.
Correct.
And God. Jesus. All right, thank you.
Yeah, so things like this just start kind of unrolling as we dig deeper into looking at our expenses.
Yeah.
James Sangerton, you've been recognized.
Thank you. Yeah, I have to agree with Lyndon's surprise at this, you know, not to have known about this sooner or at all. But I'm also wondering, what do we know about the performance of these things when they were at whatever peak they may have had? Did they once serve a useful function and reach a significant audience, or have they always been, you know, not really helping?
There were no reports from Houston because it hasn't worked for such a long time. And then they did a very good search. I believe the donor base that they were looking at for Monterey and Santa Cruz went back at least 8 years. I may be wrong with that, but it has not been a revenue generating source for the station for quite some time. But I can ask I can ask KPFA to provide that information going back further if you'd like, or if you want 5 years, 10 years, kind of a cost comparison of expense versus revenue.
I don't think I need all of that. I'm just curious about whether it ever had a viable function and purpose, you know, that was helping add audience, you know, and building it up instead of tearing us down, or, you know, managing our demise. We could, you know, just something to compare now on what it ever once was, and could ever that ever be restored before we start giving things away. But, you know, it's just another example of us in the dark. That's the nature of things. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I want to thank you for your report, Stephanie, and I'd like to also comment, or at least clarify. So each one of these three translators was running us about $1,000 to $1,200 a month, correct?
Correct.
And then each of the translators that needs repairs, it would cost some $10,000 to $12,000 to repair it.
Correct.
And so far in the analysis that you've been responsible for, there is nowhere near that support level from the coverage area.
Correct.
Great, thank you. I like to see this not as a terrible thing, but as a reminder of the importance of our expanding our reach through other media than radio broadcast. I think radio broadcast is critical and important, but as you've just explained to us, we're getting support from people who are getting it on the internet as well. And we need to really look at ways in which we can maybe divert those funds that we were spending, which over the course of a year is about $12,000 or plus a year times three, that's $36,000 a year. That's a fair sum of money that we could use much better. And I'd also like to note, just for everybody's awareness, that recently it came to my attention that Tracy Rosenberg for Media Alliance bought an adjacent slot to KPFB on the broadcast frequency. And I thought that was rather interesting, and that disturbed me, as Tracy does not have a radio station. But there it is. Myla, I see your hand up. And James, can you lower your hand, please?
Yeah, I just want to remind everyone that in these precarious times, we shouldn't underestimate the value of terrestrial radio, because authoritarian regimes have been known to take away people's ability to communicate with the internet via the internet. And in that case, terrestrial radio becomes increasingly valuable. So, you know, we don't know right now whether, in fact, our transmitters might be even more important than they seem to be right now. Thank you.
I see Arpal's got his hand up. You've been recognized, Arpal.
Yeah. I'd like to say, yes, this is one of the things Pacifica has needed to do for a very long time. We need to have an extra presence. The whole planet is going on the internet, and it's going to be tough for Pacifica to really do a lot there because there's gigantic competition. But the thing is, we need to do that too, because I can think of an authoritarian regime that might be in charge of the FCC, and I will not be surprised if we hear from them sometime soon. So I think they will have an easier time to shut down our version of radio than they will to shut down podcasts or whatever form we decide to take. So, yes, we need to branch out. Thank you.
I'm going to move the agenda. So, Stephanie, can you give us what you can, or should we go into closed session to talk about the PFK?
We can go into closed session, and just I'm going to add a couple of things, is that one of the things that KPFA has looked at is that for a fraction of the cost of what they have been spending, they are already planning on doing a direct outreach and marketing campaign to the people in those areas, and direct them to internet, direct them to our website, that kind of thing. So we are continuing to do that outreach and pointing them to where we are, but just at a less, you know, much lesser cost. And also with FJC, we are completely caught up with our payments that we've been making. We were paying in December, we owed one of the payments in about the quarter. And in December, we were 1 month or 1 quarter behind with all of our payments. And so they were okay with that, but I wasn't really comfortable with that. So as we were entering the second quarter, we were paying off the first quarter. So we came to a place actually in March that we were able to completely pay off the first quarter payment. And now as we enter April, we are making monthly payments on the second quarter, and we are on time, and we will actually finish our second quarter payment prior to when it's actually due. So even though we've been making payments, we have been behind, and now it's just kind of a comforting feeling to know that we are caught up and we don't have a high interest rate for being late payments. And FJC has been very, very gracious in working with us. So it was a good feeling to make a very big payment in this past quarter to get us up to date and on time. And they're happy too.
Real progress. And I think.
Yeah, it's kind of like paying your credit card bill. It's like, woo, yay. We're not paid off, of course, but you know, we're caught up.
Do we need to go into closed session now, or do you want more that you want to say about
nothing more to say?